I'll try and find something. Okay. I could not find my charger for my computer. But we're okay now. There we go. We are in Schmuel Bay's in Perek Yud. Perek Yud. So the Navi here in Perek Yud tells us a very interesting story. Again, the last few Prakim have all been introduced with the fact that everything seems fairly calm for David as he has established his Malchus. And then there are these small episodes that take place. Last week we discussed the story of Mephibosheth, the story of wanting to fulfill that chesed that he made, the promise that he made to Yehonasan, that he was going, that he was going to stay away from, that he was going to take care of his family. And he couldn't find anybody, and in the end, he got Tziva, was the slave of Shaul, and he ended up helping David find Mephibosheth, and he repaid the kindness of Yehonasan through Mephibosheth. And that brings us to Perek Yud, the next story that takes place, again, when seemingly everything is okay for David. So the Pasuk says in Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi acharichein, and it was after this, or that. What happened after that? So again, it seems to be that the next step, the next episode, he just took care of Mephibosheth. Things seem to be fairly calm. He's not looking to engage in warfare. And the following event takes place, which again, it seems insignificant, but it becomes extremely significant. Vayamas melech b'nei Amon, vayimloch chanun b'no tachtov. And the king of Ammon died, and his son Hanun took over as king. His son Hanun took over as king. Vayomer David, and David says, "Eseh chesed im Hanun ben Nachash." So see that Nachash was the name of the king who had passed away. He said, "Now I'm going to do a chesed. I'm going to do something nice for Hanun, who is the son of Nachash. His father just passed away. Kasher asa aviv imadi chesed. Just as his father, just as Nachash, did a chesed with me." What chesed? What chesed did he do with him? Doesn't tell us. So Chazal fill in that in the Radak, in the Radak and Rashi, also look at Rashi, record what the chesed was. Umahu achesed, kishahaya David boreach mipnei Shaul, when David was on the run from Shaul, bo elav avivi mo ve'achav. So we know, again, we had this story way earlier in Shmuel Aleph, that his family came to join him. Vayinachem es pnei melech Moav, and he went to the king of Moav and thought that there they would be protected. Vayomer lo yeshev na avivi imcha, and he requested that Moav should take him in as the Moab should take them in as guests. And as soon as David left, Vehargim, the king of Moab, again, we referenced this a little bit previously, killed them. Chutz me'echad mehem, but there was one of David's relatives, Shebarach benimlat eretz b'nei Amon eitzal Nachash. He escaped and he went to Amon and he went to Nachash there, and Nachash did protect him. So he had a tremendous hakaras hatov to the Nachash. Again, he might not have been the most righteous person in the world, but he had done a personal favor to the king and to his family, and therefore he felt that it was appropriate to do something for his son. Vayishlach David l'nachamo. And David went to be Menachem Yad Avadav El Aviv. He sent messengers to Vayishlach David Nachamo Yad Avadav El Aviv. Again, El here seems to be about, right, over his father, over the loss of his father. Vayavo Avdei David Eretz Bnei Amon. Okay, so David seems to be doing a nice thing. He's sending messengers to be Menachem Avel. Hanun had lost his father. He's now the new king. he's showing a certain amount of respect, he's showing a certain amount of hakaras hatov, because his father had saved a member of his family. But it was not taken as such. And that's what the Navi tells us in Pasuk Gimel. Vayomru sarei b'nei Amon achanun adoneim. And the officers of Amon said to Chanun, who was their new king, Hamechabei David Zavicha beinecha, kishalach lecha menachamim. You think your father was so honored in David's eyes that he's going to send messengers in order to be menachem you? Why do you think he's sending some of his servants, some of his agents to Amon? They're spies. They're going to scout out the entire area. They're going to scout out the city. And David is going to attack Amon. And that's why he sent him to him. Why would they assume that? Why were they so suspicious? So Chazal is to understand that the Torah tells us, Chazal understood that they understood that the Torah says that you're not allowed to make peace with Amon. So that means that one day, Amon is going to be attacked and destroyed by the Jewish people. So David, presumably, again, their logic was, if he wanted to do it just to show Hakaras HaTov to their father, then he should have done something when the father was alive. Why are you waiting till the father died? Now, why are you waiting until the father? Oh, because now they're vulnerable. It's a new king. And now is going to be a moment at which potentially they can do something to us. So he sent these two people as scouts. He sent these two people to spy out the land of Amon. Oh. So what was the response? Very interesting response of Chanun and Pasuk Dalet. Vayikach Chanun es avdei David. Chanun took the servants of David. Vayigalach es chatzi zikanam. And he cut half of their beard. He cut half of their beard off. Vayichros es matvehem b'chatzi ad shisoseyim vayishalachem. And he cut their robe or their garment, whatever exactly it was, halfway down, so that all of their private areas would be revealed. And he sent them back. What was he intending to do? What was his, this is a very strange conduct on behalf of Chanun. So clearly, he was trying to embarrass them. He was trying to show that they're nothing. He was trying to humiliate them. And by humiliating the messengers of the king, you're sending a message that you don't care much about the king either. The Abarbanel suggests that what he did specifically reflected what he thought they were trying to do. Meaning, their outward act of kindness was only a cover-up for their mission. So he cut off, half of their beards to show that they had good intentions and bad intentions. And the same thing, when they tore their clothes and revealed everything that was hidden, was to show that they didn't come for the outward appearance, they came with other intentions. Now this was probably not a very good move on the part of Chanun. David was trying to be a nice guy. David wasn't looking to cause trouble over here. But he's not giving David much of a choice. Vayagidu leDavid, and they sent a message to David, and they told David, and they sent messengers. They didn't even go themselves to show David what happened because they were just so embarrassed. They were so embarrassed by the way that they looked. They looked, bizarre, and they didn't want to go in front of David. They told David, "Vayomer Hamelech." Shavu b'Yericho, go wait in Yericho ad yitzamach zekanchem v'shabtem, until your beard grows back in, and then you can return, because again you won't be embarrassed anymore. Now it's interesting, right? The Radak points out there's another solution also, right? Which is cut off the other half of the beard. Right? It's like when you get the thing falls off the haircut thing, and you get the stripe in the back. So you could either make the whole thing as short or not. Their doc says, V'lo amar legaleach ha-chatzi acher. He didn't tell them to cut off the other half. Ki lo yam minagam legaleach ha-zakan v'achilp mesparayim. They didn't do it. That wasn't the minhag at the time. When you see all the pictures of all the bearded people from the days of Tanakh, this seems to be a support for that. That David knew that it would be embarrassing to tell them to shave completely. And therefore, he told them, you guys wait in Yericho, camp out over there, and I am going to take care of business. Pasuk Vav. Vayiru b'nei Amon kina vashu b'David, vayishluchu b'nei Amon vayizkiru asaram b'esvichu v'asaram tzova, esrim elef ragli v'esmelech machar elef ish v'ish tov, shnei masar elef ish. They realized that they made a mistake. And they realized that they probably overreacted a little bit. They probably got word that David is starting to amass the troops. And the Bnei Amon realized they are in some big trouble now. And they went out, and apparently their army was not strong enough. So they hired mercenaries. They hired from Aram, Beis Rehov, and Aram Tzova, 20,000 footmen. From Ma'acha, 1,000 men. From Ishtov, 12,000 men. 33,000 soldiers that they hired in order to fight against David. And this didn't help things with David either, because now David knows, okay, so if it's going to be a full-on war, so be it, but I cannot allow the bizayon, allow the disgrace that they did to the Malchus and to these people, my messengers. I cannot allow it to go unanswered. Pasuk Zayin, Vayishma David, and David hears everything that's going on. Vayishlach es Yoav veyiskol atzava giborim, and he sends out his general, sends out Yoav, and some of his mighty officers to prepare for war. Why didn't David go out? Usually the king, Melech Yisrael, goes out to fight also. And the Navi seems to be stressing here that he sent Yoav and he did not go by himself. Why was that? So some of the Mepharshim point out, he was so... Hold on one second. Sorry. Sorry about that. Two calls from school and you pick up and then you find that it wasn't important. But just to make sure. Okay. Why didn't David go out himself to fight? So some of Rashi explained that he was so, again, disgusted by what Amon had done. He didn't even want to give them the satisfaction of being able to say, David came out to fight us. I'm going to send and defeat you just with the army. He couldn't deal with these people after what they had done to his messengers. So Vayishmad, okay, so Pasuk Ches. Vayitzu b'nei Amon, so the people of Amon went out. Vayirachum lochama pesach ha-shaar, and they waged war at the opening of the gate. Varam tzova urechov ishtov u'machol v'adom basadeh. And these soldiers were out by themselves in the field. So again, it sounds like they basically were cut off from the rest of the army. They had their mercenaries out there, but they themselves weren't out there. Yoav noticed that there were almost two fronts. That there was in the front of him, and there was in the back of him. So he needed to figure out a strategy in order to make sure that they were going to be successful, again, on two different fronts of battle. Vayivchar mikol b'churei Yisrael, vayaaroch likras aram. And he chose from the best of the soldiers, and he brought them against Aram. Ves Yeseram, and the other ones that were left, Nasan Biad Abishai Achir, he gave over to his brother Abishai, who was also a strong general. Vayaroch likras b'nei Amon, and he sent them, and the others had to fight against the people of Amon, not against the mercenaries. Vayomer, and they came up with a plan. Im techazak Aram imeni, if Aram is overwhelming me, vayisi li Yeshua, then you come and you help me. And if the Bnei Ammon are stronger than you, okay, somehow, again, they didn't have cell phones, but somehow they would be in communication, and they would see that if we need to help out the other one, we're able to. We're not so far apart, but we need to each focus on one of those fronts of the battles, either against the mercenaries from Aram or from the soldiers from Bnei Ammon. Suppose you base Chazak v'nis Chazak be'ad Amenu, and they said we should be strong. U'ba'ad Arei Elokeinu, on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our city, v'Hashem yaseh hatov v'einav. But in the end, and again, it's just an important perspective that he gave to the troops, is that it's not in our hands. Our success in battle is going to be whatever Hashem chooses is our fate. Whatever Hashem chooses is our fate. It is out of our control. And Yoav comes to the people that are with him, the milchama ba'aram, to fight with Aram. Vayanusu mipanav, and they ran away from him. Ubnei Amon ra'u kinas Aram. When the people of Ammon saw that the people of Aram ran away. Now, it's not surprising that the mercenaries have very little to gain. They're always going to be the first ones to run away because they're just looking to make some money. So even if they're not going to get paid, they don't want to die, right? They're not willing to fight till the death. If you're fighting for your nation, if you're fighting for your homeland, you have some, you know, you have something in the game. You have some skin in the game. But here, as soon as they left, but they had no, they knew that they were weak without Aram. So when they saw that Aram ran away, so they started running away from Avishai. And they went to the city. Vayashav Yoav me'al b'nei Amon, vayavo Yerushalayim. And Yoav returned from the b'nei Amon, and he came to Yerushalayim. But that wasn't the end of the story. That wasn't the end of the story. Again, the b'nei Amon didn't have much confidence in their skills, and they ran away. So it sounds like at this point he didn't defeat them, but he scared them. He scared them off. You know, you get the dog that's trying to attack, and you scare it away, and you know you leave it on the side. He didn't fight them until they were, you know, decimated. So now what happens? The pasuk tesvav, vayar Aram kinigaf lifnei Yisrael vayeyasu yachad. Aram saw that they had been beaten, and they decided, let's try again. Let's band together and let's see if we can reattack. Vayesu yachad, vayishlach hadar ezer, vayotzei asaram Hashem iver anar vayevoch ilam v'shovach sar tzivah hadar ezer lifneiam. And they gathered together some of the best warriors and generals that they had. And Hadar Ezer went out with his chief warrior Shovach to join Aram. So again, they were as opposed to weakening, they took the temporary setback as a chance to regroup and be prepared. Excuse me, to fight again. Vayavo Chelam, they came to Chelam. V'Shovach starts by Ezefneim, and Shovach, who was again, I don't know if he was exactly a Goliath size, but he was a Goliath type of figure. He was the man. He was this ultimate warrior who was going to fight on their behalf. But you got to David and Pasuk Yitzayin, and David finds out what's happening, that they didn't give up. They didn't get the message. Vayasof es kol Yisrael, and he gathers together the whole army. Vayavor es hayarden, and they cross over the Yarden. Vayavor cheilomar, vayarachu aram likras David, vayilachamu imam. And this time, David himself went out. This time, David himself went out to join the battle. It wasn't about Bnei Ammon anymore. Now the people of Aram, they were inspired by the Bnei Ammon, but it was the people from Aram who chosen to attack, and they fought. And David was victorious. Vayonas Aram yipnei Yisrael, and Aram was forced to run away. Vayarog David me Aram sheva me os rechev v'raboim elef parashim v'eis shova asar tzivohi ka v'yam asham. And David was able to wipe out 700 of the chariot riders and 40,000 horsemen, and he killed this general, right? That inspirational figure of Shovach, who was their leader, who was the one who gave them the confidence when they were going to fight. He was able to destroy them as well, him as well. And they realized that they were defeated. So they came to peace, and they became avadim. And avadim here usually means, and the Navi, when they become avadim, it means they became under their rule. They took under their rule. They paid taxes. They didn't enslave them all in the sense of being a slave to somebody else, but they were under now the rule of David. He expanded to include them, and they paid taxes to the king. And Aram became afraid to do it again. Aram realized, I don't have much into it. If it's just about the money, Amon is going to be on their own. But again, it's a fascinating story. It's a fascinating story in that this entire war that ended up being fought was really avoidable. David was trying to simply repay a chesed, and the overreaction by the new king. And again, there's going to be another story about this new king several prakim from now. This king Hanun, really the unintended consequence of his suspicion ended up leading to a situation in which the machlus expanded further in a war that David did not want to have to fight. And again, the other lesson which emerges is this: the approach of the Jewish army of this chazak minis chazik. We're going to be strong, but in the end, it's going to be Hashem who is the Moshiach Yisrael. Okay. Thank you all. Have a good day. Esther, you're on mute.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Zatz. Have a great day.
Yes.
Can you hear?
Yes.
One question. Why did he send servants to be Menachem Avel? Why didn't he go himself?
I think that in general, the king didn't often do things themselves. Meaning, I think it was considered to be very respectful to even send messengers. Maybe if it was a Jewish king, he would have done otherwise. Not sure. Again, you wonder what would have happened, how the story would have unfolded differently if maybe he would have sent, if maybe he would have gone himself instead. But I think it was still considered to be a sign of respect. I don't think that was why they were disrespected. But I'm not 100% sure. It probably has to do with what the general practices at that time were. But it's a good point.
Because if you think somebody wants to be Menachem Avel or to do something like that, you go yourself. You don't send...
I think that's usually true. But, I think when you're the king, sometimes things are different. It's good to be the king.
Sometimes.
Okay, have a good day, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.